Good morning. Go ahead and have a seat. All right. First matter we've got on calendar today is docket 64757. Nope. 65406. Hallinan versus Hallinan. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. And Mr. Fleeman, are you ready?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Come on up.
Good morning to the court. My name is Jack Fleeman, Barnwell 10584. I represent the appellant in this matter. This is an appeal from an order denying appellant's motion to relocate with a minor child and granting the respondents primary physical custody in the state of Arizona. We're requesting today that you reverse the district court decision because of abuse of discretion in a number of areas, and I have highlighted four areas for the court. The first is that the court applied the wrong legal standard because it refused to follow the case law under Rivero. Second is that there were numerous irregularities at the evidentiary hearing that I'll bring to the court's attention and that have been briefed. The third is the failure to analyze and apply all of the mandated statutory factors of best interests which are required in a child custody case, including relocations. And the fourth is that there was a lack of substantial evidence to support several of the court's findings in this matter. I would note for the record that the law has changed somewhat since this case has been filed. There's been the entry and enactment of AB 263, which has codified a lot of the relocation cases, Schwartz and its progeny, but it shouldn't have too much of an impact on this case because the factors are now codified. As to the first issue, the failure to apply Rivero, my client filed his motion to relocate in July of 2013. What Rivero requires is a year look back at that time to determine what the actual custody arrangement was, the de facto custody arrangement. And it explicitly states in Rivero that the court is not to apply what the clients or the parties had characterized it as, which in this case was a shared physical custody arrangement, but must apply the year look back. The court made a finding that my client had 10 of the previous 12 months with the child, and that the respondent had only had minimal time. However, the court refused to apply Rivero. The court said that it would not apply Rivero because if the court were to apply Rivero, Dad's 10-month period of time, he would have an unfair advantage that the court does not believe the law intended under Rivero.
Counsel, don't we have a slight problem, though, that the parties had an order in place and they were voluntarily rearranging things because it was convenient at the time? So this look back is not necessarily definitive, since it's something that was based upon the agreement of the parties, where they note that they hadn't sought any modification of the underlying order.
He was seeking a modification of the underlying
order. Well, when he came to the court now.
When he came to the court, correct.
But you're saying the look back, but I'm saying this look back is at a situation that, if we look at all of it, the parties had agreed to these manipulations.
I think that is a little bit of a distinction, but in Rivero, the parties had also agreed to the custody arrangement, but I see Your Honor's
point. This was also partially a custody arrangement to accommodate Dad's schedule. His military absences,
that is
and obligations.
Correct, Your Honor. That's what the court found.
Right.
What had actually occurred was that the parties had gone to mediation, and the order that they had come up with was what the court adopted was long periods of time with each parent, and that they would revisit the matter if Dad were to be deployed overseas. And that is what happened when we filed the motion, was Dad was scheduled to be deployed overseas. We filed the motion, and we requested Rivero, and the court denied that request.
Well, let me ask this. Let's, you know, when we do these cases, I hear about Rivero this and Rivero that. Why is it in the best interest of this child that he go with the father to Japan?
It was in the best interest of the child that he go with Dad to Japan because the child had lived for a long period of time with Dad right before the filing. He had been developing a relationship with his newborn sibling that was a few months old by that time. And Dad wanted the child to be able to continue that. Dad had, you know, taken the child hunting, had gone fishing. They had developed a relationship. Mom's environment in Arizona was unstable. She had only been living with eight different people in a household.
The child only knows people for a couple months. The judge considered all of this as part of the best interest analysis.
I don't believe the judge considered the sibling part. The judge mentioned the sibling but didn't really analyze the issue and said, without any evidence, but made a finding that she believed that Dad's new wife would be overwhelmed because she was going to have three children if that child moved with them.
Right, but isn't that entirely within the judge's discretion?
I think it would be within the judge's discretion if there were any evidence to that, but there was no testimony or anything that would say that she would be overwhelmed. It was something that the judge just surmised on her own. I don't know that that's necessarily within the judge's discretion.
Well, let's play real more. Why is it abuse of discretion? And let's say it's discretion. Let's say Justice Perriguer is absolutely right that the judge heard all this. Why did the judge abuse discretion?
If the judge heard...
Well, everything he heard. Did you understand what the justice asked you originally?
I believe so. He was saying if the judge considered it, if the
right.
judge... Had,
And the way we set it aside is if there's an abuse of discretion. So tell me, first I asked you about why it's in the best interest. Your answer was fair. Now, hammer it. Why is it abuse of discretion as to what the judge ruled?
Well, I believe it's an abuse of discretion for a number of reasons, and the reasons were, one, the Rivero, two, the irregularities. There was ex parte proceeding or ex parte papers that the judge considered and relied upon. There was no filing. There was no formal request by mom for custody.
But they had a primary custodial arrangement, and he was seeking essentially he would need to get that changed to look at a change in circumstances to primary physical custody and show that circumstances had changed in order to trigger a review of the custody. Isn't that correct?
That, if I'm understanding correctly, Your Honor, that she had primary physical custody and he was trying to change it, is that what the court is saying?
No, they had joint custody.
Correct. They had
and to look at a change in circumstances, I thought you just said, mm-hmm. He would have to make a move for primary physical custody and show a change of circumstances in order to accommodate that.
That is true if you're not applying Rivero. If you're applying right. Rivero,
no,
then
this
that's
is
not
applying
but
Rivero.
The court did make a finding.
This is you know, Ellis versus Carucci and that line of case law.
Sure. But it's only Ellis v. Carucci if one parent has primary, and in this case they had joint, so it would be true access what the court found.
Wouldn't he have to seek joint custody in order to have this changed and modified? Or primary custody, I'm sorry.
No, I don't believe he would have to seek primary. If Rivera was not applied, you're correct, he would have to seek primary physical custody.
Correct.
And he did move for primary physical custody and relocation.
Right.
That is correct.
And the change in circumstance under his attempt to seek primary physical custody was what?
That he was moving to Japan. The court made a finding that there was a change of circumstances. So, I mean, I don't recall exactly what the
But again, it goes a step beyond that, other than just finding a change in circumstance. Most issues involve a change of circumstance. But you still always come back to the child's best interests.
Sure.
And so I'm curious as to hear your take on why the judge found that it wouldn't be in the child's best interest to relocate to Japan.
Right, and I guess my only thing that I could say is that the judge didn't fully analyze all of the best interests with respect to this. The court didn't analyze the sibling issue. I agree there was discretion in her review of what the other factors were, but she made a finding that the child had lived mostly with mom throughout the child's life. She made that when she said she wasn't applying Rivero, but she didn't account for the fact that the child had been living 10 consecutive months with dad. She disregarded that. And so as far as our point of view, an argument of best interest is that the best interest of the child was to continue living with dad and not to apply the fact that the child had been living with mom from the time of our filing to the time of the evidentiary hearing, because that was just the court's calendar that took 7.5 months for anything to happen on the evidentiary hearing.
What type of visitation did she give dad?
I think it's pr- pretty standard visitation. I don't recall off the top of my head. I think he...
Let me tell you why I'm asking that question. I handled Schwartz versus Schwartz as an attorney and lost the case and lost the appeal. And I've never been comfortable with the way the Schwartz routines are. So one of the issues that I can look at now that I'm a Supreme Court justice is what the judge gives as far as visitation to somebody who can't relocate, can't have, you know, used to being with the child, now is not going to be with the child. So that's what I need to know, and I'm going to, I mean, if you could you just fill that in so that the record's complete as to what the visitation was. In other words, if it's a terrible visitation schedule, you know, maybe I can help you out. But if
I believe
it's a reasonable visitation schedule, you're shafted.
Right, and I believe that it's a few times a year. He would have to get flights to come here, and then he would be allowed, I think, once a year to take the child to Japan, if I'm recalling correctly.
I thought it was all holidays. He would be given the opportunity, plus a significant period of time in the summer. And as to getting flights back and forth, since he was in the military, a lot of that was of no cost to him.
And I think the testimony was that he was not going to be able to make that many flights a year, but the court's probably correct is what the visitation schedule was on paper. She made a finding that mom wouldn't be able to have, going the other way, the alternative reasonable visitation. She made a finding of that based on mom's income.
Right.
Discounted the fact that dad said he could do the flights and things of that nature. But
and he had a substantial amount of time with the child.
Correct, on the visitation schedule.
Okay. Who pays?
I don't think the judge addressed that. I think she thought that he was going to be able to get the free flights. So
right.
I don't believe she made an offset for child support.
Did you want to reserve any time here? 4 minutes?
Sure, I will reserve the remainder of the time.
Okay. Any questions, colleagues?
No.
Michael?
No.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning.
Well, let me try my question again to you. Why is it in the best interest of this child that the child did not relocate to Japan with father?
Well, there are several reasons. The child was 4 years old at the time of the trial, and under any relocation risk assessment, in my experience, that is too young to break a bond with one or both of the parents, and since dad was the party that was relocating, the child had also spent two-thirds of his life with his mother and a third of his life with his father. There had been no complaints about how the child was doing. I know I just heard that there was a finding of instability, but I don't believe that's the case, that everyone knew that mom was living in Arizona and that there were several other family members living in the house, but the child was doing fine. And the court was also focused on, she didn't think either parent had presented any evidence that there was an educational benefit to Johnny being with dad in Japan or being with mom in Arizona. So she went through the best interest factors under 480, what I call the 480 factors, and I thought her decision was very detailed in coming up with why it was in his best interest to stay with mom in Arizona. Does that answer your question?
Well, I'm not real satisfied because we've heard a lot of these cases, and every one of them is granted the motion to relocate. It didn't matter whether it was in Timbuktu or to California.
Well,
and I'm just wondering why this case is so much different than if you deny it.
I missed a big one, Your Honor. There would be no reasonable alternative visitation for mom, based on the distance, based on her budget, her budgetary constraints. She makes $8 an hour working at Little Caesars. So obviously she's young and not as sophisticated as other litigants. And dad would be able to travel here from Japan, I think, at little or no expense. So that was one of the big factors, because you know that the court is supposed to focus under Schwartz on whether there is reasonable alternative visitation.
And it was a permanent relocation, from what I understand, for the dad?
4 years. It was at least 4 years, from November of 2013, I think, is when he and his family moved over.
And
there.
You seem to know the visitation schedule a little better than the other counsel. We'll just say it to me so I can be satisfied under Schwartz.
They are to alternate spring break for the entire week every year. They are to alternate the week of Thanksgiving, well, the four-day weekend, but if they can get permission from the school, then they can alternate the whole entire week. They are to alternate the entire two-week winter break, and he gets all of the summer. He gets the week after school, gets out for the summer, until 2 weeks before school resumes. So he has most of the summer. Mom has.
Does he have to come here to get the child and then go back to Japan, or can the child? The child's too young to go by.
Yeah, himself. That would be assumed. It doesn't specify in the decision, but that would be assumed. And he can have his visitation here or there. It doesn't put any parameters on that. And I believe he has a $200 downward deviation on his child support to cover the cost of transportation.
So his child support was reduced to full $200 a month?
Yes.
So,
but he has to take one trip a year in order to avail himself of the $200.
That's worth about $2,400.
Correct.
If he pays for it.
If he comes one time, one airline ticket, and then he gets to enjoy the downward deviation. I mentioned, I really thought her decision, Judge Elliott's decision, was well written. I mean, it's almost 40 pages, and she went through the sports factors exhaustively, and she went through the best interest factors exhaustively. She heard the testimony. She made findings on credibility, and I think she would have been comfortable with either parent, especially after they stipulated that there would be no further corporal punishment. So she didn't find fitness issues, and there really wasn't any proof of any fitness issues, especially on Mom's part, the allegations that she was bipolar or had ADHD. But the thing that she didn't do, that Judge Elliott didn't do, that I would have done, she said, I don't think it's fair in this case to apply Rivera. Rivera doesn't apply. It's a completely distinguishable case. In Rivera, it was a 5-2 weekly visitation schedule, and this was an uncustomary visitation schedule. And I know, I've seen some of the district judges do this, where they're taking kids and their parents live in different jurisdictions, and they're doing 6 months with dad and 6 months with mom, and they're kind of putting a Band-Aid on it and passing the buck until the child's in school. And then they know they're going to go to mediation, or they're going to come back and have the court have to decide what's going to happen.
Which was contemplated in this case if he was ever permanently assigned somewhere.
Right.
From
exactly.
What I understand.
That's exactly right. And they said if they couldn't agree, if they were both here, well, we'll decide which district or which jurisdiction has a better school. Then if he's deployed, we'll go back to mediation.
So do you agree that Ellis versus Carucci would be part of the analysis here, where one parent would have to seek primary physical custody and show a change of circumstances?
Oh, well, yes. Yes, I think that, I don't think that dad had primary physical custody. And I know that the last...
He was seeking primary physical custody.
Yes, he was. He needed to have a change of custody.
He needed to have that in order to request a relocation.
That's because they had joint custody.
Correct.
Did they have joint physical custody? If you apply the Rivera analysis, then I guess technically, but this is what's great about the Bluestein decision, that...
Did that come out later?
We have some really good now case law that I think is great for our judges, because it again says, you know what, don't pull out your calculator, judge. Start with the best interest of the child. And that way, in close call cases, you know, you've got cases where it's 38, 39, or 41%, and that's not what you should be looking at. You should be looking at the best interest of the child. I mean, I love the Bluestein case. I think I've talked to my colleagues, and that is a great decision.
Did not totally do away with the nomenclature of what custody what the legal custody was at the time.
No, I agree. And I think what's great about Rivera is that we needed that because so many people had done away with the word joint physical custody and were using shared, because that's how we get our cases settled, right? We get close. We have people fighting about, well, I need to at least get up to my 40%. And oftentimes people don't object to that, but they're not comfortable saying joint physical custody.
Well, doesn't that in fact give the district court judge more discretion in making that determination, because the judge looks primarily at the best interest of the child as opposed to a mathematical split?
Exactly.
That was indicated in Rivera.
Well, Rivera says it's a guideline.
Sure.
Some people are really getting pounded with the Rivera guideline.
Right.
And that's what I think.
Would you address best interest of the child on this particular case in terms of whether or not there was anything in the record in terms of education or child care or things like that for mom, since it's indicated that her earnings are relatively meager in Arizona, and whether there was family support or whatever? why it's in the child's best interest.
So mom lives with her fiancé, who also has a daughter who is about Johnny's age, and the testimony at trial was that they were inseparable. This little girl and little boy did everything together. The fiancé, Aaron's parents, also live in the home, and then Aaron's two older sisters, who I think were 16 and 21. So Aaron only works one day a week outside of the home. Erica, the respondent, works 5 days a week, and she works what's similar to a swing shift, but she is off Wednesday and Thursday, which, you know, are school days. So the child, when on the one day that both Erica and her fiancé Aaron are out of the home, the oldest daughter that's 21 is providing the care. That was at the time of the trial, of course. He's in school now. But as far as there was no evidence presented of any lack of fitness of anyone in that house, and the judge found Aaron's testimony, he came to the trial, to be very credible. And he seemed very familiar with the child. She said he smiled when he testified about the relationship between he and his little, I guess I'll call her stepsister, soon-to-be stepsister. Does that answer your question?
Not really, because we're glossing over actual factors of, you hit some in terms of the family relationship and possibly care of the child, but schooling and other things is always a concern.
Why don't you talk about the negatives of going to Japan? What were the negatives that Judge Elliott found? The
primary would be the lack of any reasonable alternative visitation for mom. That was the primary. The fact she was also concerned about some of the allegations that she had heard about domestic violence.
She seemed to say that was before the fact. On that, there was some concern, but that seemed to be alleviated after the full hearing and the time.
And she also found that the parties stipulated, I guess, in court that there would be no more corporal punishment. So she didn't find that there were any risks in either household safety risks. But the other disadvantage, as I said, there was no testimony or evidence offered by dad that there was some superior education available for Johnny there. There was also a concern that his wife had a young child and was pregnant, and so she was afraid mom would be overwhelmed, his stepmom, with having three kids to take care of. So
a lot of people take care of more than three kids and do it well.
Did dad offer at all to pay for the visitation if he was able to take the child to Japan? Did he say, I'll take care of it, make sure she can have a relationship under Schwartz versus Schwartz?
I don't recall that being in the transcript. I could be wrong, though. But no, there was nothing that there was no findings in the decision and no testimony that I recall.
So basically, the mother would be cut off unless she could afford to fly back to Japan for 4 years at least.
Right. Or she would, that's true. She doesn't mention that in the opinion. The judge doesn't mention the fact that he's so young that he would have to be accompanied on any airline flights. But that's certainly a valid concern because she would have to travel to Japan, pick him up, and bring him back, I guess, unless dad would do that for him. But there was no evidence that I saw in the record that there would be a free flight for the child, maybe for dad, but not for his son. And I think she had other concerns. She had concerns about the fact that dad hadn't maintained his health insurance and done the paperwork necessary to switch to health insurance when mom moved to Texas. And she was concerned that the child had spent the majority of his life with his mother, and she had provided the primary amount of his care.
And she found that there was sufficient time that would be spent with dad. He chose to exercise his visitation. And that he had reasonable means to come and enjoy that visitation.
She did. And she said he can come have additional visitation if he comes to Arizona, if he's able to come over here. There was evidence that, remember, he hadn't had any visitation. He had gone for, 17 months, 16 months?
Well, that was part of their arrangement. Unusual arrangement, very unusual circumstances. None of these cases are easy. They're always tough.
Agreed. And there was one other concern that I noticed that I had was that there was an occasion where dad needed to do some training while Johnny was in his primary custody, and he dropped Johnny off for 6 weeks with family members rather than offering mom that time.
Well, the basic situation we have, at one point they were married. Husband, dad had been in the military for 8 years, so it wasn't something new just came out that he went out and enlisted to change the whole dynamics of the relationship. So you get the good and the bad of the parent when they're in the military.
And he didn't try to get a hardship, which you can get in the military, about moving to Japan.
There was no evidence of that.
Of course not. So he wanted to go to Japan.
And I recognize Justice Douglas' your concerns, because that's true. I mean, people serve, and that's wonderful, and you're right. She knew that when she married him. She knew that when she had children with him.
But she would anticipate that how many weeks did you say he was doing training?
6 weeks.
So 6 weeks. Was there any reason that mom couldn't have had that visitation period rather than having the child sent over to other relatives? Was there any indication in the record regarding that?
There was evidence. Well, there was mom's testimony that she hadn't been notified even that the child was... It wasn't offered to her, a right of first refusal, we call it.
But that wasn't part of the agreement either.
It wasn't.
That occurred. Okay.
But that goes to, you know, one of the important factors in best interest is whether a parent is willing to allow frequent and continuing associations with the other parent, and that might have been a bad judgment call on dad's part.
Part of the difficulty with this case is that we had two pro se litigants before the court, and so part of what we have in the record is amplified only by the judge's questions, trying to ferret out more information to make this decision. So it becomes...
I don't envy the judges. I don't envy you. I wouldn't want to be the one having to make these decisions. And relocation cases are the hardest.
Well, this is the first time that I've seen a relocation case has been denied. Of the ones we've heard, I don't believe that, at least the panels that I've been on, have denied, or that the family court judges have denied relocation.
I had one denied 3 years ago, and let me tell you, I was a little surprised because my client had primary physical custody but I think the reason was the youngest of the three children was 4 years old, and that really bothered the judge. It bothered the expert that did the relocation risk assessment.
Yeah.
It was just... So in this case, they're going to live in different jurisdictions, so what are you going to do? So she really did, I think, hone in on best interest. So under either standard, right, whether the judge was right or wrong, under either standard, the best interest prevailed here. And she had substantial evidence of that. I know my time is up, sorry.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay. Mr. Freeman, you got about 4 minutes left.
Just a few points. One of the things was the credibility. The judge did find that she seemed more credible, the respondent seemed more credible on the issue of her relocating to Arizona and telling dad in the first place. But the record shows the judge's comments were completely incorrect. She accused dad of not informing the court that he had approved of her relocation to Texas in the first place. The record shows that dad filed his motion. He noted he had agreed to her moving to Texas. Even in court, counsel had stated she had moved to Texas. And the court used that to say that dad was less credible than mom, but it's a complete misunderstanding of the facts of the case. And that's part of the concern is that there were a lot of weird irregularities with this. There was no filing. The judge was reading from papers that had been given to the court. Counsel had also been given paperwork, but whether it was the same exact paperwork, it's unknown.
Well, that's the problem with pro se cases in general.
Right. And at the initial motion hearing, at the calendar call, trial, respondent was told each time, file this. The trial was shortened to a half day. On the day of trial, it was supposed to be a full day, but there was a miscalendaring event. The appellant had to return to Japan, so the trial, the judge said, needs to be completed today. So it was a truncated trial, tried to get all the evidence in as quick as possible. But certain things, I think Justice Sherry asked about a hardship. There was some evidence, and I think the court made a finding that dad was required to go to Japan or else his testimony was that he would have been discharged because he had refused a prior relocation for similar reasons, and he understood that his military career would be shortened.
Was that part of the record then?
That is part of the record that he testified to. He testified that he had to go to Japan and that he could not. It would shorten his career if he did not go. The judge made that finding. In terms of Bluestein that came up, there is a lot of discussion about Bluestein and what it means. Some people are very unhappy with it. Ms. Lavelle is very happy, is very happy with it. I don't think Bluestein should be stretched this far, because certainly if the court's inclined to look at the look back and Rivero and those things, and I get the feeling that it's not in this case, that it, the court may feel that it's very distinguishable. I think Bluestein blurred the line of 40%. I don't think it destroyed the line and said absolutely 100% best interest, but it did say...
Was it more likely it defined the line?
I don't know. In terms of the practitioner, I think practitioners are seeing that they were returning and saying, hey, it's de facto 40%. They have 38%. I think it's given the judges more discretion at the district court level to say, look, there are factors in this case that mean...
But isn't that what should happen? And that's one of the problems we had with Rivero.
Right, I agree that should happen. I agree that the district court judges should have discretion in that area. I don't think this is that type of case. I think that the timeshare at the time of filing was so disparate that I don't think that it was even close to 40%, but I do understand the other arguments on the other side.
But this timeshare that you're talking about, you have 17 months with mom, 9 months with dad, then 2 additional months with mom. The look back is a strange look back.
Well, the look back showing it's not, 12 months.
It's yeah, but and that's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's based on this time when we look back. And in a young child's life, I don't think a 12-month snapshot is adequate when you're looking at the best interest of the child. Because in this situation, yeah, it's fine. Dad hasn't for 9 months. Was that to equal out the 17 months?
Sure. I would just argue that in best interest, you probably would look at the most recent time for stability of the child. And I'd leave it at that. Thank you.
Colleagues, any other questions?
No, just a very difficult and always in child cases.
Always. And, you know, counsel, we very much appreciate both of your participation in this case. And this matter will stand submitted. We will stand in recess until 11:30.